Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Russell Wilson apparently listed, you know, four teams to be traded to. The Saints, that's not happening. Saints started $62 million over the cap. Cowboys, well, the latest report out of Dak's camp is that talks to the Cowboys are more productive than they've been. Okay, the Raiders. Yeah, Mike Mayock spoke about his quarterback, Derek Carr, a couple days ago. This seemed like a guy they're ready to get rid of.
I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you every year, I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I have no idea who might call me or who might not call me. So you have to do the evaluations both on your own players and every other player in the league. And you got to stack your boards and understand what league value is all around the league. And we do that. But if you're asking me about Derek, I mean, I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
Well, there you go. I mean, that does not sound like a guy who's trading his quarterback or cutting his quarterback, right? Which he could do before a contract extension is reached. So let's start with and end with the Bears. Right? This from Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. The thinking among multiple sources is the Bears have prioritized making a run at Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. Jeremy Fowler expects the Bears to take their shot. Russell Wilson likes their offensive line. He's intrigued by offensive head coach Matt Nagy and believes Chicago is an intriguing market. I mean, look, my take is very simple. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, one, I don't think Seattle is going to or wants to trade him. Two, you're down to the Bears. And I understand the Bears have searched long and hard for a franchise quarterback. They searched long and hard. And by searching for a franchise quarterback, if you can have one who's already developed, already under contract, land at your doorstep, even better. Even better. But be careful what you wish for, right? There's no relationship there with Nagy. The system that he runs is a hybrid of the same system in Kansas City. And while you can sit there and go, like, look what Pat Mahomes can do, look at the skill position guys Pat Mahomes has. I'm not saying it's not a win for the Bears, but what is Russell Wilson thinking? What are you thinking? In fairness, the Bears have the exact same record over the last 3 years as the Indianapolis Colts, and everybody thinks that everything that's been done in Indy is brilliant and everything that's been done in Chicago is stupid, but they're essentially the exact same football franchise, just with different markets and different expectations. One team got shunned by its franchise quarterback because he's just been injured too much. The other team moved mountains to draft a quarterback at number two and it just wasn't good enough. But this is a be careful what you wish for because you might get it. For the record, I don't think Russell Wilson's getting traded to Seattle. Getting traded from Seattle. I don't even think they're contemplating it. Like, if somebody wants to show up and move mountains and you're talking about three first-round picks and a couple of players, well, then we'll have to have a long, hard conversation and maybe, just maybe. But if it's we're going to ditch him because he's done, like, nah, dude, he's under contract. He ain't going anywhere. It just, this, the noise might grow louder, but the story hasn't really changed. Like, people, oh, this is an era of player empowerment. No, it's not. It's the exact same era we've always had. You know, Eli Manning, draft day, forced a trade, you know, said, I'm not going to San Diego. And John Elway didn't want to play for the Baltimore Colts. Like, we've seen this before. Let's just stop with it's the new era. The only new era out there is social media, which amplifies small sounds. It's the same thing we have in terms of the rest of society. There are problems. Those problems are amplified and made more ever present based upon social media. We're out of things to talk about. I'd love to talk about college basketball today. I spent 3 games in Logan, Utah, back and forth, and I loved it. And I got great stories for all across. But America's like, man, just give me the bracket. Let me see if I can win my pool. Can't talk about regular season NBA because it feels like they've been playing perpetually since they started those games in quarantine in Orlando. There's no college football. I mean, the FCS, nobody talks about in the regular season, let alone in the spring. Baseball. Right? So we got to talk about football. And in this week of we're out of stuff to talk about, it's maybe Zach Wilson should go number one. And here's the new one. Also, Wilson to the Bears makes a lot of sense. For who? The only people it makes sense for is the Bears. That's literally the only people on earth that's like, ah, that makes total sense to us. We like that. Russell Wilson coming to the Bears, it makes a lot of sense. Let me explain it to you. We need a quarterback, and he's a really good quarterback. There you go. Makes sense. Like, okay, but that's not what we were getting at or getting to. That's not even close. Not close. So I understand that you, every day, you turn, you read, like, ooh, Russell Wilson. Ooh, now it's the Bears are taking a shot. The Bears might take a shot. Russell Wilson, you know, might want to go there. But one, thinking you want to go there and really going there are two different things, right? Two, why would Seattle do that? You know, Russell's not going to not play. Russell Wilson wants so badly to be well-liked that he won't even demand a trade. All he wants, he just wants people to go, you're great. You're Walter Payton Man. You can't win Walter Payton Man of the Year and then demand a trade mid-contract with a team that drafted you and supported you when you weren't throwing for 200 yards, built an entire team around you, gave the biggest contract in the history of sport. Like, you can't do that. Like, he's not a complete dolt. He's got a massive ego, but not one that blocks his thinking in his cerebellum. No. So this is just a case of Russell Wilson not really ready to go to the mattresses, not really going to sit out, is on a playoff team, trying to throw his weight around. Hey, man, you know, I could go to the Bears. Careful. Seattle might get to the point where, like, all right, fine, go to the Bears, have fun. You know, go to the Bears, have fun. The interesting part about it is, in his desperate need for some sort of control, in his desperate need to change their offensive line, which they're going to change anyway, Russell Wilson's kind of lost himself in what made them successful to begin with, right? Like, they won a Super Bowl against the Broncos because of their defense. The game was over from almost the first snap because of the defense. The second Super Bowl, he had a big part in, no question. Shouldn't have gotten there. They should have lost to the Packers because their offense and Russell Wilson was crummy against an injured Aaron Rodgers. And they got lucky and they found a way to get in there and then lost to the Patriots. But those two teams were because of dominant defenses. And yeah, good offensive line. But he also had no say into the offense. None. So now later in his career, he wants more say into the offense and wants them to rebuild their offensive line, which they were going to do anyway. And if not, I'm going to go to Chicago because I think I like the idea of Matt Nagy. No, what really is it's a huge city that would wrap their arms around any sort of quarterback. That would be you. You look in that division and the Vikings, Lions, rebuild. Packers, legit, but two playoff teams can come out, maybe even three of the same division. You'll be fine, just like the Seahawks would be fine in the NFC West. But why would the Seahawks trade him? Until you can find an answer to that question, it's not even a question worth asking. You know? I mean, look, I don't think the Texans truthfully want to trade Deshaun Watson, and to this point they haven't, but if they do, it's because they're in complete rebuild mode. They are absolutely gutting the house, and they're absolutely starting over. I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to sit out. I don't care what anybody says. Like, he ain't sitting there. Dude's like, it's one thing to get hit with a bill for $50,000 when you got $70 million. When you get hit with a bill for $21 million in potential fines, yeah, that one kind of stings. That one kind of hurts. I don't think Deshaun Watson's sitting out. I just don't. A game, maybe. A preseason game, maybe. Don't know. But wasting your own career away, like, look, if the Texans get to the NFL draft and they haven't traded Deshaun Watson, they ain't traded him. And he can sit there and collect dust for all they care because they got him under contract. But the only reason it makes sense is they're rebuilding. They could get a cornucopia of picks. They get a couple players. And they can start the rebuild mode. But even then, I doubt it happens. It's not Carson Wentz, who they wanted out of town. They weren't a playoff team. It's not Jared Goff, who had led them to a Super Bowl, but had a huge, huge number in terms of his salary, and they were fed up with his play. They're not fed up with Russell Wilson. He's got to play better. They got to rebuild and build a better team. They were a playoff team, and I don't see them bailing on their quarterback anytime soon, even if he wants to bail on them.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's a website, and I think it's an app called Overtime. Are you guys, Gavin, are you familiar with Overtime? Before you read the story, were you familiar with Overtime?
I knew them because I follow them on Instagram.
Right. They're like an IG story. Okay, so they want to start a league called Overtime Elite. Formed under the auspices, the sports media company Overtime would compete directly with the NCAA for the nation's top high school boys by employing about 30 of them who would circumvent the behemoth of college sports. Overtime would offer each athlete, some young as 16, a minimum of $100,000 annually, as well as signing bonus and a small number of shares in Overtime's larger business. The company will also provide health and disability insurance, has set aside $100,000 in college scholarship money for each player in case any decide not to pursue basketball professionally. So what is this about? What it's being positioned as is, hey man, you don't got to go to college. You can go play pro and play against prep schools, right? So, here's the lie that you've been told for a long time is that players haven't had the option to go professionally. Even before the G League Select Team, which is a select number of guys that get paid handsomely to train and play against, well, pros, before that, you could always go to the G League for a year. Just the salary wasn't what people thought it should be. You could always go overseas. The fact is that most kids don't have overseas options because overseas teams, they're not good enough for it. They're too young. They're not able to compete. They actually need to go to, wait for it, college. Look, the devil is in the details in that, you know, how many of these leagues have come along and gone? They don't make money. And what's left in their wake, you'll have a couple of kids benefit off it financially. But who's going to coach it? Were they going to play against prep schools? So is that going to, why would you do that as opposed to go to college? And I've had people reach out like, why are you so against kids getting money from their name and likeness? Not against it. But they actually do get money from their name and likeness playing in college basketball. Like, no, they don't. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. What they do is they surrender up until this point, up until they find out how they're going to do this in college athletics, and it really becomes pay for play. But you surrender everything for a college scholarship, which is exactly like the rest of the student body. You know, once you have a job that's better than one, than going to college, you leave college. Or you don't. You don't have to. You don't have to go to college. Nobody's forced you to do so. But if you take this deal, you'll not only never play college basketball, you likely never go to college. You're like, wait, what? Yeah, because Gavin, how old are you?
32.
When did you go to college?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Cal State Fullerton.
Okay, Cal State Fullerton. Yeah. Now, when I was a kid, I'm in my 40s. When I was a kid, Cal State Fullerton, basically, if you graduated from high school in the state of California and you had like a 2.5 or above, you could get in. Okay. Cal State, like San Diego State used to be, you need a pulse to get in. There was a big party school. Now, like, you need good grades. You know why? Because there's tons of kids that want to go to college. It's kind of hard. It's kind of competitive. Could you go to a Cal State Fullerton? Maybe. But remember, these kids are likely to leave high school. Oh, yeah. You know, a kid that wants so badly to become a professional basketball player will leave high school at the age of 16 to go to the overtime league, is very likely to keep up their grades and get a good enough, you know, whether it's an SAT or whatever, whatever they deem, you know, at this point, we're not using the SAT, but it's because of the pandemic. We don't know if they'll come back. Do you really think that they'll qualify for or be able to get into any sort of reputable school? Like, do you have, and people have no possible clue, because we have idiots in my line of work that do not cast the right shadow. They, everything is bad. It's bad. They're making money. It's bad. They're making money off students. It's bad. Oh, hey, Mr. Ryder, who went to Syracuse, and your parents paid $60,000 a year. You did. You paid to go to school, right? Yeah, yeah. You paid to go to school. Hey, guess what? You don't pay, and you get in, and you get everything taken care of, and you get tutors, and you get your sport, and you get to train, and you make a name for yourself. Like, you missed all that, didn't you? Well, they're making billions. They're not making billions. That's like a 20-year contract spread out over 14 teams. Yes, it becomes $1 billion. Break it down a little bit more. No one player has any sort of individual value that's so high. And the kids that do, they leave and they go pro. It's a dumb argument. It's a dumb idea for a league. And the genius to it is, I don't know if it ever gets off the ground. It feels like an idea, but it feels one that gets people talking about, well, the overtime. What's the overtime? Oh, I should download the overtime. I should look at the website. That's the overtime. That's the brilliance to it. Here we are, and I'm just as big an idiot as anybody else. I'm going to give the overtime their due. Like, let's talk about a made-up sports network that does highlights. I know my son looks at it. He looks at the IG. But this would be a disaster. What are you going to pay him in? Well, we're going to give him some shares of our, we're going to give him some shares of Overtime's bigger business. And how many shares? I don't know, 5. You know, it's going to grow. And, you know, we give him 0.25% or whatever. Like, okay. And look, getting equity in somebody who's investing in you is really smart. Really smart. It's a long-term play. Do you know what's the smartest long-term play for an athlete? Going to college. Yeah, that's the smartest long-term play. Let me tell you the other benefits you have. Okay. Ralph Irvin, pick a college basketball program.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay. Let's say you go to Oklahoma, and let's say you're from... say you're from Southern California. Okay. I went to Oklahoma State. You go to Oklahoma. Okay. First of all, you go to places, you see a part of the country you've never seen. You make friends you've never made before. Now you have a name if you play in Dallas and Oklahoma City and Tulsa in most of the Midwest and still kind of back home because of where you kind of came from, whatever. But you have a name and connections with everybody in that school. If you go to school in Oklahoma and you stop playing basketball and you want to get a job, you apply for one in Dallas and an OU alum or a Texas alum, even you got a pretty good shot. And then you go like, hey, I play basketball there. You got a good shot of getting the job. If you want to stay in the sport, well, Lon Kruger has coached everywhere, knows everybody, picks up the phone and says, hey, my guy wants to be a head high school coach. You can do that. Oh, you want to be an athletic director? Guess what? Joe Castiglione is your athletic director. You got to know him. He got to know you, the type of person you are. I'd really like to be an athletic director in 20 years. Okay. You know, I have connections at Mizzou where I came from and all these other places. That's how that works. It's networking. It gives you a home. It gives you a sports family. None of this happens when you're in some made-up AAU team that dudes are getting paid. This is dumb. So it's not a new idea. There's brilliance to it, and it brings attention to the parent company that many adults hadn't heard of, even the kids know it. My guess would be it never actually takes shape. And those who do take the check lose their eligibility and end up somewhat bitter in the end because you're not coached by anything special. You're playing against, you know, prep school teams. You lose your college eligibility. You probably lose your ability to get into a college. And if you're an NBA player, they're going to advise you to go to the G League, select team, or go to college. You know, I mean, look, there's like, what was that app that was going to do like condensed shows? That was like, was it Quibi? Quib?
Yes.
How was it? Quibi, right?
Quibi, yeah.
Quibi with a V?
Quibi, Q-U-I-B-I.
Right, right. Ramos, did you know about this Quibi thing?
I did, yes.
I did too, okay? And I know it because I knew somebody who left and took a job at Quibi. And it launched in August of 2018. And I mean, you want to talk about brilliant people who started it? Jeffrey Katzenberger started it. You're like, what? Yeah, Jeffrey Katzenberger, he did The Little Mermaid, Shrek, Kung Fu Panda. Like, this dude is pretty brilliant, right? And Meg Whitman was their CEO. She was a board member of Procter & Gamble and Dropbox, right? And she had previously been president and CEO of Hewlett Packard, right? So, like, this is, and she took over as CEO in, like, August of 2020. It launched in April 2020. The idea was it was short-form streaming platform generated content for viewing on mobile devices. So instead of watching, you know, half hour of the news, it was like 3 minutes. And you're like, wow, that's great. I got ADD. I got to watch it. Do you know how long it lasted? It started in April 2020 and shut down in December of 2020. Oops.
What happened in April 2020?
There was the pandemic. Yes, that was
not a lot of people commuting. Yeah.
No, but you were still on your mobile devices and there was still news. It was just, it just kind of got lost. It was one of those, yeah, pretty good idea. And, you know, I mean, look, their first day they launched, they had 300,000 downloads. They had as many as 1.7 million downloads in the Google Play Store. It was the 11th most downloaded app in April. But then all of a sudden people are like, okay, I don't get it. I don't, right? Like, you end up watching that during those times, we still got the news. People watch news more than ever. They just went back to your traditional news sources, CNN and Fox News and ABC and NBC and all those things, right? That's the same thing with sports. It's a good idea. Like, oh, yeah, kind of a cool idea. End of the day, are you going to watch that? Or are you going to watch college basketball, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Carolina? Like, who do you think you're going to watch? You know, you're going to watch March Madness because the bracket and the tournament. You're going to watch the NBA. People don't even watch the G League. Like, look, the truth is the G League's players, the worst team in the G League would win the national championship going away 30 points, not competitive. They're better players in college. Do you know why they won't watch it? Because it's the G League. Like, teams like the Austin Toreros. Sorry, I don't have an Austin Toreros shirt. I didn't go to play for the Austin Toreros when I was coming out of school. That's just the way it works.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's welcome in Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. Of course, you hear him on Fox Sports Radio. He, like me, like, we love a little college hoop, man. And it's kind of our time of year. The time is here. But there's this weird story about Greg McDermott. The Aaron Torres podcast, you can pick up, download wherever you download podcasts. Also, you can hear him on Fox Sports Radio on weekends, 8 to 11 p.m. Pacific time, on Twitter, at @Aaron_Torres. Have you ever heard anybody say, like, hey, everybody got to stay on the plantation to stay connected?
Oh, Doug, such a, what you said is correct. It's a bizarre story, and I don't want to be unsympathetic to anyone's, you know, emotions. I have never heard that, you know, reference casually used in conversation. I also thought it was great, by the way, on our network, Gus Johnson just saying, you know what, I know Doug McDermott, or excuse me, Greg McDermott, and this was a slip of the mouth. This is not reflective of who he is. And I would never claim to, like, know Doug McDermott, but I've had many, many conversations with him on and off the record. He does not strike me as someone that it was trying to be offensive or would say anything that was ever intended to offend his players, obviously current and past. And, you know, I think the fact that we now know that he was willing to resign, that he spoke with his administration, it is a very bizarre story. I hope it was a slip of the mouth, but, you know, I'm not going to hold 30, 40 years in coaching against him for one bad sentence.
Yeah. I just don't even understand where it came. It's just so weird.
I agree.
so weird. And though it offended, it doesn't mean, just because you can offend doesn't mean what you say is offensive.
Agreed.
Intentionally or intentionally. It's because we take this extra step of what things, well, what he must mean is, you're like, well, no, it's whatever.
I agree.
You know,
agree.
He's suspended. Do you think he coaches in the NCAA tournament?
I would hope so. You know, listen, I get that this is the world that we live in, but like the Big East feeling the need to like come out and make a statement about how, you know, this doesn't jive with who they are and what they're about. I understand why the statement was made and all that. But again, it goes back to what I said a minute ago. One, I don't want to put anything on Gus Johnson because I don't know him. I've never met him. But I think anyone who has been around, you know, I just don't listen, Doug, what I would say, and I'll throw it back to you. You're a player. You've been in these locker rooms in a way that I never have been, is I do feel, and I could be 100% wrong on this, if this was a biased person, a person that didn't treat all his players with respect and all that stuff, like I just feel like this would have come out, oh, I don't know, in the last 30 to 40 years that Greg McDermott has been in a locker room. And so maybe I'm 100% wrong, and I do want your opinion as a former player, and I do agree. Like, that's not a reference or a statement that I've ever heard. It was obviously not the right thing to say in this moment in time, but, like, I also did find it weird that everyone felt the need to like make a statement to condone what he said, as if we all don't know what he said was really, really dumb and stupid, you know?
Yeah. Agreed. Let's get to some of the bigger stories currently going. Like, okay, Gonzaga or the field. Seems like a crazy thing to say. But when I watched Michigan get thumped, granted the level of competition better than the Big Ten with Illinois, when I watched Baylor get thumped by Kansas earlier in the week, I wonder if I was onto something early, like Gonzaga or the field. Is it a little bit harder to choose the field than it used to be?
Yeah, no, I would say that. I mean, listen, I will say this, like I was the guy in the middle of January, early February saying like, oh my goodness, look at the way Michigan's beating up on the Big Ten, best conference in college basketball. And I get all that. But I do think there is a little bit of, and we do this in the media, we all do it, is you try to, you know, tear down the best to elevate somebody else, right? Like it can never just be like, oh, LeBron is the best player in the NBA. Like, that's not even an argument or a debate or whatever. It's like, oh, well, you know, Joel Embiid. Like, we got to talk about him for MVP. And James Harden, he's been awesome in Brooklyn. And it's like, yeah, but LeBron is still, like, really awesome. And when it comes to late May and early June, I'm going to trust that guy. And that's kind of how I feel about Gonzaga, is, like, I will readily admit I am guilty of being that guy that tried to say, oh, Michigan, oh, Baylor, oh, this, oh, that. You look at Gonzaga, and for people who don't know, I know you know, Doug, but, you know, probably at least two, maybe three first-round picks in this current upcoming NBA draft with Joel Ayayi and Corey Kispert, you know, and Jalen Suggs probably obviously being another one, potentially a college All-American that doesn't translate necessarily to the NBA at this moment in time, Drew Timmy. That's four guys that could start at any school in the country. And so I'm 100% with you in terms of, are we creating controversy and drama for the sake of it? I don't know. But I do think, like, the more that I watch Gonzaga, it's like maybe I oversold these other teams trying to elevate them, getting them on Gonzaga's level.
Aaron Torres, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What do we do with those teams in the Big Ten? You know, we're all told Big Ten's best conference, but I love the Big Ten. But I mean, Indiana sucks recently. Michigan State, which looked better, Michigan State looks better than go get thumped last night. There's just not a lot there. Minnesota hadn't won a game away from home, but they did thump Michigan at home. Like, we kind of go through. We're certain Maryland's gone into a tailspin. What do we do with, you know, I know that the league, I'm not trying to diminish the league, but you're telling me those teams are better than Utah State or Boise State, or better than, you know, pick a team out of the Big 12 seems to be getting seven. It doesn't matter. But Oklahoma's lost four in a row, right? Like, how do you differentiate between these leagues, especially when there's so little interleague competition?
Well, I was going to say, man, first of all, it's your show. I'm just going to say it. You've been crushing on the Mountain West. I was watching the Utah State game the other night. You crushed it. They're a great team. Nemus Cato is phenomenal. He could play at any school in the country. What I would say about the Big Ten is, for people who are just now tuning into college hoops, look, there's two national championship contenders. It's Michigan and Illinois. And I do still think Gonzaga is the rightful favorite, as we just discussed a minute ago. But I think it's Michigan and Illinois. And then I think once you get past that, Ohio State is probably going to be on the two line, maybe the three line. We'll defer to Mike DeCourcy on the bracket stuff. But I don't know what they do at an elite level that they can win a national championship six games in a row. You know, Iowa, I love Iowa. I love Luka Garza. Great story for college basketball. But, you know, Fran McCaffrey's been coaching 25-plus years. I don't believe he's ever made it out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. I know a lot of it was at the small and low major level.
He got the Sweet 16 at Siena, so that would be
my... Did he? Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. One time. I'm sorry.
No,
one
I got
time
it.
In 30 years. Yeah. I forgive you. I apologize. I feel terrible. But, like, the point remains is that, you know, is that a program that, I mean, I guess they won an NCAA tournament game, I guess it was now 3 years ago, obviously no tournament last year. So are we really going to, like, hitch our wagon to that team? And so I only bring it up because I think Michigan and Illinois, they can beat anybody. And then Iowa, I think with the right matchups, they can make a deep run. But Ohio State, are they really elite? Wisconsin, I don't know what they do well at this point. I brought up this point the other day. Like, everyone says, oh, they don't beat themselves. Yeah, but if you don't do anything else well, does it matter? If you don't,
here's what Wisconsin does. Here's what Wisconsin does. You ever play ping pong?
Yeah, poorly. Like, Wisconsin plays basketball, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, but you ever play against the guy who all he does is hit it back? He doesn't ever go for it. He just hits it back. Right? You're like, it makes you so mad. And against low level ping pong players, that works because guys are like taking chances. But you play against anybody decent, like, yeah, you have to have try a winning shot. They're like, nope.
Yes.
It's boring as hell, and they just don't beat themselves. Congratulations, but you don't beat anybody good that way.
Well, and I don't know
you
how
can
many
use that, but you can use that. I'm going to use that on a podcast. You can use that one too.
You let me in. As you led me in, College Hoops guy, I got that reference, and it was the perfect reference. And so, to answer your question, yeah, Illinois, Michigan on a really special level. Ohio State, I don't know what they do at an elite level. Wisconsin, you just made the perfect analogy. Minnesota, Indiana, I don't know that they're even getting in. Michigan State, cool story, kind of how they've rallied the second half of the season. I don't know that they get in either.
But then we had to find teams to get it. All right, what about the big one? What about Duke?
Oh, what about Duke? Well, you know, losing to Georgia Tech and whoever they lost to on Big Monday the other day, I can't even remember at this point. It's not good. I guess they lost to Louisville on Saturday, excuse me. So they lost to Louisville and Georgia Tech back-to-back. I think they're on the wrong side. And what I would say is, again, I don't claim to be a bracketologist, but they obviously have to win at North Carolina tomorrow. And, you know, you look at them in the bigger picture, they probably got to win a game or two in the ACC tournament. What's crazy, Doug, and I'm sure you've seen this, have you let your audience know how it works if a team, like, has to be removed from the tournament because of COVID? Because Duke might end up on the one seed line, the way that I understand it, if a Baylor or a Gonzaga or a Michigan ends up getting pulled from the NCAA tournament. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you automatically take their spot, right? If you're the one of the next team, like, you're, it doesn't, that part kind of doesn't make any sense, but I guess, I don't know. I mean, why don't they get everybody the vaccine?
Well, I don't have an answer for, but
I mean, people are able to get the vaccine pretty readily now, right? And
you're right.
Like, why are we not getting the kids the vaccine? They're going to travel to Indy, like, getting the vaccine, and we're kind of good. Like, let's go. Well,
I would say, and this is another conversation for another segment, but the idea of postponing and canceling conference tournament games over one positive, I understand why these protocols were put into place in August, September, October, as we started preparing for the college basketball season. But, you know, Holy Cross, as an example, had one positive test in their program the other day. They were not able to compete in their conference tournament. I do wish we were beyond that, and I do hope that the NCAA tournament is the final kind of major sporting event that looks a lot different than what it was pre-COVID. But the fact that we're still kind of following these protocols that we put into place in August, September, October, I wish it wasn't this way. I really do.
Aaron Torres joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so are you going to go to Indy? Are you going to stay there for like the month and do it?
No, I don't think I am. And you know why, Doug, is not to bore too many people on air, but we go to the Final Four to network and talk to people and all that stuff. And I think the people that I, not to make myself sound more important than I am because I'm a nobody, but the people that I want to see and network with and connect with, they're not going to be there in the same way that, hey, 3 weeks after that, you know, the same people that you want to go to Indy for the NFL Combine will not be in the NFL Combine. And so I will not be there. I hope this tournament goes off without a hitch, but I will not be there.
All right, I'll be in a studio in L.A. doing Westwood One. I'll do Westwood One's so I'll be their studio analyst for radio. So you should come by. Gotcha. We'll just watch games.
And, let me know.
And now, but we'll also network each other. We'll network each other. Like we're in the lobby. We'll just network each other. Deal?
I'll give you my phone, and whoever you want to go through, you just pick a phone number. You start dialing numbers, and whatever happens, happens.
You're the best, man. Look forward to the tournament. Talk with you more. Got to pop on my Hoops Pod real quick when you get a chance. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime you need me, Doug. Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're on the brink of the NCAA tournament. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is an interesting year, right? I mean, some of the traditional powers, not powerful at all, which allows opportunities for other teams. And one team who I think everybody coming into the year knew would have a tremendous season, they've done nothing to make us not impressed. If you liked Illinois, for example, did you guys see Illinois blow out Michigan? You know who blew out Illinois? That'd be Baylor. what about like I like Texas Tech blew them out, right? What about I don't know Texas? Yep, got them too. West Virginia beat them on the road, won the Big 12. Then last night they beat Oklahoma State with likely freshman of the year, Cade Cunningham, maybe national player of the year, Cade Cunningham. I mean, with the exception of one game in Lawrence, Kansas, they've been perfect. Now, they did have a stretch where they missed games for like 2.5-3 weeks and it kind of been slow to come back around. Let's catch up with Scott Drew, head coach of the Big 12 champion Baylor Bears. How's that feel when you get introduced, right? It's like
man,
getting introduced
is
all.
You can do that again if you want. I really. All right,
let me
like
do that,
that
again because I kind of butchered a little bit. Let's welcome to the show the head coach, the Big 12 champions, Scott Drew. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. Jordan Schultz, I just got done doing something with him, and he said to tell you hello, Doug. He's a fan of yours, I guess.
The feeling's mutual. Let's start. Like, look, there were high expectations for this team to start the season, and obviously, you guys didn't get that dream showdown with Gonzaga that everybody wanted. But what was it like to start this season when there were so many questions about how much of the season or how it would go? Take me back to, you know, October and November in Texas when things are a little bit more open than other places and what that was like for you.
Well, I could tell right away, obviously, when people came back on our team, the goal was to win conference, was to get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament, a chance to go to a Final Four. And because they sacrificed so much when they got back, I knew that if we played games, we were going to have a very good season. And we were blessed to get off to a good start. I know we missed some games, not because of our fault, and then because of our fault. And at the end of the day, everyone understands with COVID, you can do everything you want to try to be secure and still end up being in isolation or quarantine or whatnot. So it was amazing to me when we played games, our guys were so excited to play. When games got canceled, how resilient and excited they were to get back to playing and not down or holding their head. I mean, we're in basically the elevator getting ready to go to Gonzaga when we find out that game is postponed. And at that point, I called few and we're in the same hotel. I said, we can set up some Nerf goals. We can do this on the fifth floor. Just get CBS over at some point, you know. but the resilience and excitement of our guys each and every time we play. And you're right, I heard your intro. We had a 21-day pause. And as you know, you pause for different reasons. Some is you're out for COVID protocols, others because people have COVID. And no matter what you do, you're a workout guy. I know you stay in great shape. You take 21 days off and you sit in the bed, you're not coming out and being in the same condition. And for that 21 days, everyone else is getting better while you're getting worse. So it's taking us a little time to come back, but I know our guys are really excited each and every night we played. And we're 3-1 since coming back and couldn't be more pleased with the effort that they've put out.
Scott Drew, head coach of the Baylor Bears, 20-1, joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. I don't know if you know this. Sunday is the anniversary of your last game last season, right? It's been a year. You lost to West Virginia in the Big 12 tournament, and then everything got it was the last game of the regular season, right? It was lost at West Virginia, last game of the regular season. Never played K-State in the Big 12 tournament, and like that's it's been a year. It's crazy how fast or slow it's gone. Okay, take me to the 21-day shutdown. Where were you, and how do you get the information that you're going to have to shut down your program?
Well, we just came from a big road win at Texas, and then, as you know, you're basically testing every day. And at that point, we knew we had to, because of COVID protocols, figure some things out. And one thing led to another. And next thing you know, we're locked down for a long time. And then you get a 4-day snowstorm. So you're locked down even. I mean, hey, you and I know you don't have snow trucks. You don't have snow shovels. You don't have ice scrapers. You get a couple inches of snow and freezing temperatures and once in a 100-year blizzard on top of a once in a 100-year pandemic. Everything comes to a halt for a couple days for sure. So once we got through both of those, we were able to practice Sunday and then practice Monday, play Tuesday against Iowa State.
Wait, so you didn't practice the whole time? You didn't practice the whole time? Were the guys able to work out at all? Can they come in and use the code and get in the gym?
So if you're out for contact tracing, you can come in and work individually with the coach. But again, without getting into the HIPAA, FERPA, and all that stuff, we had a few players that could do that. No one could do it during the snowstorm, but we had a few that could. And then, so you do individual workouts with them one at a time. And obviously, the game's played 5-on-5. And so
I mean, the only good thing was that your first game back was Iowa State, who's not very good this year, right? But then, the West Virginia game is
17.
Yeah, and then the West Virginia. Then you go up to Kansas, and your guys are huffing and puffing. Now you have all these kind of condensed games as well, right? So how do you manage like practice and getting guys in shape, and keeping the big picture.
Great question. So first thing I did was know that I need to talk to people that have gone through the similar type pause that we did, meaning longer ones and similar numbers that we had. And the general consensus was when you come back, don't do too much trying to make up lost time and they're tired for the game, because no matter what you do, they're not going to be in shape and ready. So at least you want them fresher. And then the second thing was it's going to take 4 games to get your legs back. And those 4 games for these teams that I talked to was over a 2-week period. We basically had to play 4 games in, you can figure out how many days, but not 2 weeks. And so for us to go 3-1 during that, and in each game, as you know, head coaches are writing stuff up, assistants come in, strength coach come in, how's warm-ups? We're running in sand. Well, we're still running in sand. Well, we're still in sand. And then finally, hey, we're out. And on that fourth game, each game we got better with our conditioning and with our legs, but that fourth game, coaches were 100% right, and that was against Oklahoma State. Even though we played Tuesday, you win the championship, first time since 1950, obviously a lot of excitement. Nobody got much sleep. And then you turn around and play, fly all the way back from West Virginia, and then play on Thursday. That's hard to do, but much pressure. And hopefully we just continue to get better from here. But you know, as a player, you take 3 weeks off. Imagine you being injured away from your team for 3 weeks, coming back and trying to join them. Even if they're playing, it's a different dynamic, you know, let alone if everybody's shut down. But now we're not the only team, obviously, so everybody's had to deal with hardships. And coaches can tell you the players' resilience and what they've sacrificed and given up
to have a chance to play games is something that I know us coaches have worked really hard to get games because they deserve it.
The winning the league championship is great, but you've knocked on the door at the Final Four twice, and there was a call against Duke once or twice that I know doesn't sit well with you. Compare those years and those teams to this team now, and how you mm-hmm. feel about your chances.
Well, I think if you go back 2010, a team that overachieved and really strong player leadership, and like you said, you have a chance to beat Duke. You beat Duke. They won it all. You would have won it all. So then 2012. We had a tremendous team, a lot of talent, a lot of NBA players. But Kentucky just had a couple more NBA players than Anthony Davis, which counts as two. So I think that year they were a better team. But I thought we could have definitely been the second best team in the country, because actually Kansas played them in the national championship game, and we had just beaten Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. So twice we were right there. As you know, takes a little luck. And because it's not 4 out of 7 games, it's a 140-minute game, and anything can happen in a 140-minute game.
Okay, so now you have Kansas City, and I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, okay, you know, we don't want to play our conference tournament if we know we're going to the NCAA tournament, but there is an extra gap in case something goes wrong, in case you have contract tracing. Like, what are your thoughts about having the conference tournament when you guys are going to be a one seed regardless?
Well, the good thing is the Big 12 is trying to run just like the NCAA tournament. So it'll be great practice for us, but it'll be a bubble atmosphere effect. So literally you go from one bubble to another bubble, which should keep everyone safe, secure. Now, by the end of this, the players are probably going to hate all of us coaches because they're with us 24/7.
Yeah.
But I plan on being able to have some great conversations with guys that normally you don't have enough time or attention to have.
Scott, what would it mean to win the national championship, considering, and I think, you know, like, I don't need to document everything, but obviously mm-hmm. you inherited a really, as difficult a situation as anybody's ever inherited. You've accomplished so much. And for a small private school in this landscape in Texas mm-hmm. to go and win the national championship after winning a league championship, what would that mean?
Well, first and foremost, it'd mean a lot to our past players that have all put in time and effort to help build the program, the staff, all Baylor Nation, Baylor fans. But to me, it's bigger than that. I mean, you look at the state of Texas, we have so many good programs, great high school programs, coaches, players. And to have a Texas school win a national championship will give great notoriety to basketball in the state of Texas, and rightfully so. And then for everybody out there that basically sees just how many of our guys have come in that weren't five-star guys and put in time and effort, and hopefully that encourages, inspires, and as our guys get interviewed, people see, man, those are really good guys. That's a role model I want my son to be like. And there's a lot of kids out there growing up, and if they're Mark Vidal, Macy O'Teague, Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler, on and on and on, that's great, because we need a lot more young people like that leading our country.
No question about it. You know, it's interesting. You point out a Mark Vidal. You point out a Macy O'Teague, or, you know, Davion Mitchell. You get it as a transfer, right? But I think one of the challenges, I was talking to another coach like 2 days ago, actually, and I was saying, like, look, and I won't say who it is, but I said, look, at the end of this year, everybody's going to want to play for you, right? You got it going. You got a good swag about you. Your program's hot, and nobody's program's as hot as yours or Gonzaga. How do you make sure you continue to recruit your type of guys? Because the apple that's out there to be bitten, we've seen it time and again, right? Like, I remember Oklahoma State, they go to the Final Four in 2004. They have the number one recruiting class. Only one guy actually shows on campus. So the first time Nova mm-hmm. went to a Final Four, they had the number one recruiting class. That was actually the worst team when they got to be like sophomores or juniors. That's when Jay really struggled, won like 13 games. We've seen these teams.
Yeah.
Now you can get anybody you want, but you didn't win getting anybody you want. How do you balance, hey, we can recruit the best of the best of the best, but that's not actually how we built this program to begin with?
Well, first and foremost, I think all wise coaches learn from others. So knowing what made us successful, seeing what's worked for others, I mean, you try to, I mean, we all copy. I mean, like, you see a great play. It probably was run in 1955, and they just didn't have it recorded then or whatever. But my point is we all learn from each other. And that's like, we have a really high-ranked recruiting class coming in. But just because you're a high-ranked player doesn't necessarily mean you can't be successful, because there's certain characteristics we look for, regardless if you're a zero-star guy, a three-star guy, a five-star guy. And if you have the characteristics and we think you fit into our program and what we value, and we're the best coaches for you and you're the best player for us, and we got that with this class. Now, how everybody pans out and turns out, as you know, proof's in the pudding, and we'll know at the end of the day rather than now. But we won't ever sacrifice character for talent. And the good thing is I have enough coaches that have been around long enough that we all know what we want. And as you know, that if you're all on the same page, it becomes easy. And we have really good players that when guys visit, they know who fits in and who doesn't.
You guys have a bunch of underclassmen too. Like, you could legit, one, you don't lose this year, but all these guys could come back and do it again. Even Vital as a senior could come back. He could come back and do it again next year.
I'll let you come talk them all into that. That's gonna be a hard sell.
Scotty, you're the best, man. I'm so happy for your success, for you and your family. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to talking when the tournament gets underway.
Well, always appreciate you and what you do for college basketball, and especially the Big 12. So thank you, Doug.
Anytime. Big 12 does it for themselves. They do not need any of my help. That's the one and only Scott Drew, head coach of the Baylor Bears. Sick'em Bears.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.